Our scripture text today is Psalm 139. I invite you to really meditate and digest and nourish as you hear the word of God. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay down your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? O, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wing of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know so well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is your sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of God for the people of God. My daughter Jade is not here today, but I do want to thank her for helping me with the images and the message today. The images today will be rotating throughout my message, so they are part of my message, but they're not connected with the words I speak. I want to talk about time. Take my moments and my days. Let them be in ceaseless praise. How do we live out our gospel faith? In my preaching class, it tells us that we must have a form and function, and we must have a purpose. What is our purpose? Because that helps us craft and create our sermon. Today, my purpose is threefold. It's a bit to introduce myself. This is my first sermon preaching amongst you. And to tell you about my midweek service or midweek education time and why I'm here. Why do you have an intern? We are here together for 9 months. I expect to learn from you and I expect you to teach me, but I have gifts myself and I have an expectation of myself that I will share and give those to you. The picture right there is my grandfather. He is my hero of faith. One of the things that I'm going to be doing in my Wednesday night services or my Wednesday night education hour is to look at heroes of faith throughout the church. We each have them, don't we? Who are those people that have inspired us to live out, to maintain our faith in Jesus, to carry us and encourage us? I grew up in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I am very much, that is a part of who I am. I'm a licensed minister in the American Baptist Church, so I'm kind of dancing this water of being Lutheran. I married a Catholic and was very devout and involved in the Catholic Church for a while and involved in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America for a while, and now I'm living out my calling as an American Baptist minister. I finished a degree at Luther Seminary in Church History and Systematic Theology, and that's really going to be the foundation and basis of what I will do in my work. The other half and foundation and basis is the graduate work I did in Christian spirituality. I trained to be a Christian spiritual director. I've trained and studied the mystics, different forms of prayer, those tools in the faith that call us and encourage us and feed us in our faith. We are a family of God. We are called. Each of us has needs and obligations in our lives, do we not? We have our families. We have our friends. We have work. Where is there time to care for us? But then there's also that piece for those of us who give and give and give. We have to learn how to receive. When we talk about the prodigal son, how often do we talk about the beggar or the man who was on the side of the road? Could you have received from the or prodigal son, we talk about the Good Samaritan. I work for a Good Samaritan Society. I should know this. The Good Samaritan. Do we talk about the man who was beaten and attacked on the road? Could you humble yourself enough as a Jew to allow a Samaritan to pay for you, to pay for your way, to pay for your care, to be in debt to him? So often those of us who are high functioning have a hard, hard time receiving from others. But it is our call and ministry in God to not only take time to pray, but to learn how to receive with humility. Each of us has a task and a calling. Our spirit, our faith, it's a component of being with God in scripture and in prayer. It's of being giving out and giving to our community, or whether that be our family, our parents, our children. How is God calling us to serve? But then there's also that piece of receiving and learning and growing in the spiritual journey. I said I was a product of the Missouri Synod. My parents were ministers of education on and off throughout their career. Some people are called to stay in one place and to put down roots, and their children are born there and their grandchildren. My family is not such that family. I moved 5 times between the time I was 4 and 14. Some of that had to do with my parents working for the church, but not always. My dad, I think I counted once, and my dad had 35 different jobs. And I think at 35, I was like, I'm done counting. I think it was probably more than that. But he was always in service to God. He was always living out his faith. But as a child in that, it's kind of like, what's going on? You just assume that that's how life is until you grow up and you realize not everyone lived like that. So I've lived in Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and I went to high school and got married, and my first 2 kids were born in Chicago, so I consider myself from Chicago. What does that mean? How does that impact you? It means that I've met very many different people. I've worked in service industries. I've worked in higher education. I've met people, and those people have been a part of my journey in faith. And that's what I mean when I talk about our heroes of faith. Who are those people that we have encountered in our lives that have taught us and influenced us? For me, it would be Martin Luther. It's also Ignatius of Loyola. I think in Protestant communities, Ignatius of Loyola is this gem. He's this cool guy that was a contemporary of Martin Luther, but he was in the court of Ferdinand and Isabella. He was a soldier, and God used his vanity. I've never read in history of anyone who is in the church and a leader in the church who was more vain than Ignatius of Loyola. He was from Spain, and the French were coming down, and they were going to attack his little town, part of Spain. And he wanted to prove to the ladies that he was the cool cat. And so his comrades wanted to abandon this fight. And he's like, no, we're going to get him. We're going to get him. There's no way that we're going to get him. But he wanted to impress the women. And he was injured. He received a cannonball to the knee, and he was laid up in his family home. And in that time, he read the stories of the people of the Bible. He read scripture. He read prayers. And in that time, he was inspired. And he had this difficult decision. Do I be a courtier, continue working for the court and woo the women? Or do I accept the woo and woo God? And he chose God. And he is the founder of the Society of Jesus, known as the Jesuits. I think we all have heard the Jesuits. Vanity. Imagine God using vanity for us. This time I am here with you is a time of kairos. It is a time where it cannot ever be repeated. Chronos is a time of chronological time. But kairos is this kind of spiritual time where God comes with us and in journey. This group of faith here, we are in kairos time right now. This moment in history can never be repeated. We can go back and look at it in history. We can think about how it has influenced us and will influence us in the future. But we are in the presence of God right now. What are the tools in our toolbox of faith? the picture that came through of my grandfather. He graduated, he was born in 1902 and graduated from seminary in 1927. He didn't have a wife, and I just read his memoir from his younger sisters, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. He was dating one of the sisters of the Kaiser family, but she broke up with him, so he needed a wife, so he started dating her older sister, and that was my grandmother. He graduated from seminary, and seminary back in the 1920s, you couldn't be engaged because they were worried that the engaged family, would prevent them from taking their daughter away from St. Louis. So they had to wait till they were graduated, then they could get married. So he graduated, got married, and headed off to Saskatchewan, Canada. He started a mission start, and he served up there for about 20 years between Saskatchewan and Manitoba. But he's my hero of faith because the ministry and the gospel and the people were what were important to him. At different times in his ministry, he would travel by horse and train and buggy and walk to preach the gospel and to provide to the ministry, minister pastoral care to those people in his community. I think at the height of his ministry, he had 4 different mission stations, as he called them, 4 different congregations that he served. Martin Luther King Jr., who was named after Martin Luther, one of my patron saints, he lived out his faith, did he not? He lived out his faith in the civil rights movement. The hymn we're going to sing after this is a Spanish variation of the traditional hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Think about the words of that text. Take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. How are you living out your call to faith? How are you living your life as a Christian? Let me open the scripture and read just a few call stories to remind us of some of our heroes and patrons of saint. How about the story of Abraham with Isaac on the altar? God has called Abraham to give up his only son. And Jesus said, and God said, at the very last moment, he sent the angel of the Lord and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham responded, Here I am, Lord. And we know the end of the story. Abraham was not called to sacrifice. It was a test of obedience. Then we hear about Moses. Think about Moses' life. He was an Israelite who was almost killed, but then he was thrown into the Egyptian monarchy, and he lived the life of a prince. But yet he knew he was called to something more than that. And God came to him in a burning bush. And Moses was so afraid he couldn't even face God. But yet he was able to say, Here I am, Lord. We think about Eli and Samuel. Eli was growing older. His sons had disappointed him. And Samuel was his protege. Hannah had given up her son for the priesthood. She had given of her vocation and her calling. And it took Eli 3 times to figure out, that's not me talking, that's God talking. And he finally said, after 3 times, he kept telling Samuel, go back, go back. And Samuel said, Here I am, Lord. I'm sorry. Yeah, Samuel said, Here I am, Lord. Have you done that? Are we responding to God's call? And then in the New Testament, we think about the call of Paul and how he was persecuting Christians. He was the worst of all of them. Does that not give us encouragement if the worst of the worst is called to be a great leader in faith? That gives me hope that if my little bit of the world, we can't serve the whole world. We got to leave a little piece. You know, you can't serve the whole world because you got to give a little piece or leave a little piece for me. And that's how we all are. We can't serve the whole world, but we can serve our little piece. And that's what I want to encourage you in faith, that just like Paul, he could not be at all of those churches, but he could preach and write words of encouragement. There's a story right before that of Philip teaching the eunuch. The eunuch was from Ethiopia. How did he get a hold of the scripture? But he did, and God called that eunuch. And Philip answered the call to teach the gospel message to help give him understanding. And that's what I hope to do in our Wednesday night, is look at the teachers and leaders of the faith. We'll look from the ancient church, the medieval church, the Reformation, but we'll also look in our own lives. Who are those heroes of faith? We are called to discern God's work for us. Part of being a Christian is to study the scriptures, to be in prayer, There are many ways of praying, and there may many ways of studying scripture. I grew up in the Lutheran church. I grew up in Lutheran schools. I was doing exegesis at second grade and all the way through high school and into college. For me, doing exegesis is like breathing. But when I went to Creighton, a Catholic school, my brothers and sisters knew how to pray the scripture, but they didn't know how to do exegesis. I had to learn from them how to pray the scripture. Some of us are called to be in prayer 12 hours a day. And then there are those like me who live out our prayer in the work we do. That would be the Benedictine way of working and praying and letting them be together. If you'd ask me to sit down and pray, I'd probably be done in like 2 minutes. That's not who I am. And that's what I'm calling and inviting each of us to do, is to reflect on our gifts and our experiences. What works for us? What are our learning styles? What are our love languages? God's grace is with us. My time here, I hope, will be a blessing to you, and I trust in God's work as he's called me here to serve you and to be with you, that you will be a blessing to me. We are the community of faith. We are called to love one another, to serve one another. And in discernment, we're going to look at our values and our resources and what we have to offer, and we are going to respond accordingly. Not all of us have money to give. Not all of us have time to give. But each of us has gifts that we can give to the community of faith and to those around us. We've seen these images. We have our moments and our days. We have our mornings and we have our sunsets. We have the early days of our lives and we have the late years of our lives. God is still using us and God is still among us. Even the heroes of faith had times of doubt. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Walter Honig, those are all people who struggled and lived out their Christian faith. May God's blessing be among us and with us in our work ahead in these 9 months. Let us now have a time for silence to meditate. Amen.